Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to set up some things for the next few weeks that I believe is going to be a blessing to you. In 1 Corinthians 12, let's look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues or languages, and to another the interpretation of those languages. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Here's what I want you to get for just a moment, is that when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you actually have available to you all of the gifts of the Spirit. There are, you don't just get Him, you get all of His gifts that come along with that. And this is amazing, that there is a life that God has for each and every one of us to live, that we can operate from a flow. Jesus said in John chapter 7, He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Gifts of the Spirit. Every one of you have that on the inside. If you've been filled with the Spirit of God, I'm telling you what, God wants to fill you with Him, just like you hear that rain that just fills and fills and fills. I mean, look, come on, let's make use of what's going on right now. See the Spirit of God like the rain coming down, this deluge, that you're experiencing His peace, that you're experiencing His love, that you're experiencing His power. And what I want to talk about tonight is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. And this is where we're going to go for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Let's talk about the wisdom of God, because the truth of the matter is every one of us need to experience and we need wisdom for our lives. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? What's a great definition of wisdom? Wisdom to me isn't just what to do. Wisdom is God's instruction on what to do. There's human natural wisdom, and then there's God's wisdom, which supersedes it all. And you know, some of you here tonight, I just really felt this as I was praying today. Some of you tonight that are here tonight are ready for wisdom. I need direction for my life. I need answers for my life. What's my purpose? What am I called to do? What are the things that, God, you want me to do? I don't know where I'm going. Directionless. What do I do about my finances? What do I do about the health of my body? What do I do about my children? What do I do about my marriage? What do I do if I'm not married? I need wisdom on that. We always need wisdom. But many times we try to fix our situations because out of our own effort, out of our own intellect, out of our own experience. And how many of you have tried that and failed miserably? Can I see a show of hands? Okay. What if it was possible to get hooked up to the source of all wisdom, to really actually be in a position to know what to do all the time? That would be amazing. And so that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I think one of the first things that we look at here in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 1, as it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, it says, for to one is given a word, or the word of wisdom. I don't think it's any accident that wisdom is the first gift that he mentions here. Look at, turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9. So I want to set some things up as we talk about this for the next few weeks, and then we're gonna do a little something this evening to kind of get you into the mode of, hey, can I operate in a gift of wisdom Can that happen for my life? Hallelujah. So, Proverbs chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 9. Is that it? Let's go back to verse 7. That's a great one. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk mightily. There's another one that I'm looking for. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Can we find that one? Wisdom is the principal thing. It may be, I know it's in chapter 2. I'll find it. I was completely wrong. It's in chapter 4, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. And then it says, therefore, get wisdom. Now, what is principal? What does the word principal mean? Somebody? It means what? It means the top thing, the main thing, a principal of a school. They don't go no higher than that as it comes to the school. It's the top thing, right? And so he says, because it is, therefore we need to get wisdom. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs is a book that's talking about the wisdom of God. We're going to read some things tonight about how important wisdom is. We live our lives seeking money, seeking things. We want to live a better life, enjoying great vacations, enjoying a good life. We want all of that kind of stuff, but we go after these things when we should be going after the source that produces all of that. And that's wisdom. What I love about Proverbs, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. 31 chapters. Now, Proverbs was written primarily by King Solomon. King Solomon, at his time, was the wisest person in the world. And there's a reason why he was. Because when he took over the throne from his father, King David, God came to him in a dream and said, whatever you ask for, I'm going to give it to you. So he could have asked for, well, I want to be the richest king in the world. He could have asked for, I want a long reign, so I want to live a long life. He could have asked for peace. He could have asked for a number of things. But what he asked for is he said, I just want wisdom to be able to rule your people well. And what God said to him is, because that's what you've asked for, and you did not ask for riches, you did not ask for honor, you did not ask for long life, he said, I'm giving you the wisdom, but what's coming along with that wisdom is the riches, the honor, the long life, every good thing. And so not only do we find that Solomon was the wisest during his reign, but he was also the wealthiest. In other words, wisdom produced for him everything else that he needed to rule effectively, but to live the life that God had for him. Okay? And so then what he did is he took and started writing out some of the things that God had showed him, and that's the book of Proverbs. 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs is God's wisdom for your life. It's very practical. So wisdom isn't this ooey-gooey feeling of emotion. Wisdom is actually something very practical on what you need to do. Now, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. And this is important. You can know something, but if you don't know how to apply it, if you don't know what to do with that knowledge, then it's not going to help you at all. So knowledge, just because you have been to college, just because you have a PhD, just because you're really smart, you're book smart, doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be successful. As a matter of fact, let me take it a step further. Just because you may have a lot of knowledge in Scripture and the knowledge in the Word of God, it does not automatically translate into living the abundant life. There's a lot of book smart, Scripture smart Christians that are still just as miserable as before they were a Christian. So knowledge isn't what's going to help you. It's about how to apply that knowledge. What do you need to do in your life? And as you do, that's where you start experiencing the transformation. You know, we know the scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what we're talking about there is we're starting to learn something new, learn something different. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. But then it goes on to say that you may prove, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So what is he saying? He said, as you learn something new, you've got to put it into practice. You've got to know what to do. You've got to know how to act, because unless you actually do what you have learned, you will not experience the fruit that's going to come from it. I've used this example before, maybe not on a Wednesday night, but it would be like me trying to teach you how to play tennis if I could. But let's suppose I'm a tennis pro. I'm a tennis pro, and I want to teach you everything that I know about tennis. And so I take the time Wednesday after Wednesday to teach you how to properly serve, how to properly hit the ball, how to properly do a backhand. And so I go through and I demonstrate what that looks like, and I give you all the technical knowledge that you can get about how to play tennis. You know as much as I know now. Are you ready to go on the court and to play at the top level with the rest of the pros? No. Why not? You've got to take the knowledge, and you actually have to step out on the court, and you actually have to apply what it is that you have been taught. And it's in that place of doing, and in that place of living, and in that place of practice, that you actually become accustomed to become skillful with the knowledge that you have. Well, what we need is we need God's wisdom on how to live, on how to apply, on what to do in our lives. Wisdom is the principal thing. So let me read some things to you and some scripture to kind of set this up. There's so many things here. So where does God's wisdom, God's instruction for what to do? And again, let me just say, it's not just trying to gain knowledge externally. You have the Spirit of God. If you are filled with His Spirit, you have the Spirit of God. Out of your belly, it says, will flow rivers of living water. You have an untapped source, many of you, of the wisdom of God that's available to you at any given moment. It's a great place to say amen. That you don't have to wait till you get into a church environment around other believers to have a gift of wisdom working in your life. That you can have it at any given moment. This is what Jennifer and I have learned how to live out of. I need wisdom in every given moment, and I can't wait till I get to church to get people to pray for me. You know, it's interesting. We're not always available for a phone call. We're not always available to be able to counsel you. As much as we love to be, we have limits. But God is unlimited. And so the greatest joy in our heart and the greatest goal for us is for you to be experiencing this untapped resource of wisdom and be able to go straight to Him at any given moment. That's what God's plan is for you. How awesome is that? All right, so where do we get wisdom? First of all, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. This you have to get. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. I'm going to wait for them to bring it up on the screen because I want you to get it. Can you read it with me? Ready? Read. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So right here, right off the bat, before we go anyplace else, the fear of the Lord. Now, when he talks about fear, is he talking about being afraid of God and cowering? No, what is he talking about? There's a reverence. There's an awe. There's, in other words, God has all the wisdom that you need, but you've got to be at a place that he means something in your life. What place does the Lord have in your life? What place does his words to you have for you? Is it just every now and then? Maybe I'll give God, you know, kind of a token worship, a token, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that. Or is what he says and is what he thinks, is it reigns supreme for you? How do you think about him? The fear of the Lord, his the reverence for him, the awe for him, the one that says, Lord, what you want is most important, not what I want. Lord, what you say is most important, not what other people say. Lord, I want to follow your path for my life, not my path for my own. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Once you have a heart for him in that way, then you have just set yourself up to be able to draw from the well of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We'll spend a little time here because since Solomon knew about wisdom, let's just learn it from the guy who knew it, what he discovered. First of all, it says here in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That sounds a lot like the importance of the fear of the Lord, the reverence, the awe, the honor to him. Of when you're trusting him with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Now that paints a beautiful picture right there that many times that when you lean, if I had a pole right here, or if I had an oak tree or a tree right here and you just lean against it, it means what does that mean? You want it to support you. And so what he's describing here is many times we use our own thinking, our own experience, our own education as our means of support. And we kind of lean on that and let it be the thing to actually carry us into our next day, into our next week, into our next month. And so that seems to be our default. Child of God, there comes a point in your life. Jennifer and talked about this Sunday morning, and then I kind of followed up that you have to make a decision: are you going to be all in? As a matter of fact, somebody that was here, Jennifer had mentioned what's the highest hand that you can have in poker, and that's a royal flush, right? And so what he was thinking while he was sitting there is that we have the greatest hand that's been dealt to us by Jesus, but the Bible says that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's like, man, I got so excited. Guess what? We're the royal flush. We're the greatest hand, which I think that's awesome. I love that. We're the royal flush. But when you know that you have everything and you have the greatest hand, you go all in. And so we talked about being all in. Well, many times, you know, you can step out and say, you know what, I'm going to follow God. Like, let me talk about finances for just a moment. Sometimes people make a decision in their giving. They'll make a decision, God, I'm going to trust you. And so what I want to do is I'm going to make a decision to start tithing and start giving every week because I see that as a truth in your word. That's wisdom that comes from your word. And so what they'll do is they'll step into that and make a decision. And so for the first month or two, they're really good about, you know, about doing that and holding fast to that. But then when something gets a little bit difficult, when times get a little bit tough, or if they haven't seen the blessing of God come on them, and so when they come into a situation where they need to figure out what to do, they default back and lean on what they've done before. that becomes, and so that'll kind of teach you, what are you leaning on? What's most important in your life? Are you really going with God, or are you only going with God while you can and while it's easy and while it's, you know, while it doesn't require sacrifice on your part? That's just one example. That because money, people don't like to talk about money, but money, it really, our heart is so tied to our money that it's a great illustration of where your heart is with regard to the things of God. It just is. So that's why we talk about those things. Starting Sunday, I'm going to start teaching a series about being blessed. God's design is for you to experience blessing. The Bible says that Jesus became a curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. Abraham was blessed. He was rich. He was successful. And God never intended for us to have to live subclass, middle class, just average. He wants us to be abundantly satisfied. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." You will experience prosperity and healing directly in proportion to what's going on in your soul. Your wisdom, the wisdom comes from God, needs to come into your soul so that it can affect the rest of your life. Amen. That's awesome. So what are we going to lean on? Are we going to lean to our own understanding and default back to how we've done things? Because at the end of the day, that really hasn't worked out for most people. But look at what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Look at the next verse. In all your ways, not just some of your ways, in all of your ways, what are you doing? You're acknowledging Him. It's a great time to plug what's happening on Bible and Biscuits. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, Alan Duke over here is actually ministering right over here in the fellowship hall for the rest of the month. How to acknowledge God in all of your ways. God gave him tremendous revelation. As a result of this one principle, he and his wife began to see miracle after miracle after miracle. I'd really encourage you to come and to be a part of that at 9 o'clock before the service on Sunday. Acknowledging God open is a doorway to experiencing the blessing of God in your life. We acknowledge him in all of your ways. And then as a result of acknowledging him, it says, he shall direct your paths. Now, that's what I want, is I want God directing my path. I want to experience his best in my life. Okay? Look at verse 7. Now we're starting to get into some things about wisdom. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Guys, I can tell you straight up that whenever you start thinking you've about got things figured out, or that you're smarter than somebody else, or you got more wisdom, or you know you're a know-it-all or whatever that is, you are just about to set yourself up in a way that it prevents the Spirit of God from being able to give you a word of wisdom. Because pride shuts off the grace of God from being able to flow in your life. It just does. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So the best thing to do is to first of all acknowledge, I don't know what to do. You can do that. That's humility. But you know what, God? You know what to do. And so I'm not going to be wise in my own eyes. Fear the Lord. Why? Because that's the beginning of wisdom. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Now we're starting to hear some practical application of what it means. I'm not going to continue to do things that I know are unhealthy for me, that I know are sin, that I know that are outside of God's will for my life. What I want to do is I want to depart from those things because I don't want the fruit of those things in my life. Amen. Here's where we're going over the next few weeks, just so that you know. I want to get into some things that are very practical to help you. You know, We can come in here and we can praise and we can thank God for his goodness, and but there's a practical aspect to Scripture. There's a practical aspect. If I'm going to live the abundant life, if I'm going to experience it, I want to know what that is. And so some of these things may not be the most exciting in the world. We may not be, you know, having just all this amazing flow and amazing presence, because we're being equipped. We're learning some things. And when we act on those, and when we allow that wisdom to work in my life, then the next day when I said, oh, that's right, I want to acknowledge God, I'm going to acknowledge you in my job right now. God, I thank you that you gave me this job. Somebody says to you, good job for how you came up with this solution. That's a great time to say, you know what, I just want to acknowledge God in this. I mean, I just thank him that he gave me wisdom on how to do it. And so you start making this part of your conversation. You start making this part of your everyday life. That's the place that all of a sudden you're going to start experiencing the flow of the Spirit, the presence of God, those kinds of things. And you're going, oh, I know what Pastor Mark was talking about now. So this is really, really important. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Look at the next phrase here. It will be health to your flesh. Now all of a sudden I'm seeing that with wisdom, God's wisdom, healing comes. I'm thinking all of a sudden that this is pretty important. It will be strength to your bones. Hey, more mature people, because I can't use the word older anymore because y'all get mad at me. If you got bone issues, the wisdom of God, just the flow of it in your life, will give strength to your bones. It's an automatic side effect, fruit, from you walking in the wisdom of God. Isn't that amazing? Honor the Lord with your possessions. Now, again, he's just giving us practical wisdom on how we can be in the fear of the Lord, how we can be in that place of reverence. One of the things I can do is honor him with what he's given me. So I'm honoring him. So he says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. As you have income that comes in, you turn right around and you acknowledge God with your income by saying, God, I'm just going to acknowledge this comes from you. I thank you for that. And now I want to honor you with that by being a blessing to my church, being a blessing to other people, being a blessing to other ministries. I'm going to do this on purpose with the first, not if I have some left over. In other words, God, you're first. I'm going to acknowledge you first, and I'm going to give first. Because it all comes from you. In other words, what you're doing is you're really, with your giving and with your heart, you're really actually showing God, you're actually showing your heart and yourself. It's a measurement for where he really is and what he and the place that he holds in your life. Amen. As a result of this, it says, so your barns shall be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So again, wisdom tells you what to do. Here's a result of actually acting on what God says. Now let's go down to verse 13. Happy. Anybody want to be happy? Anybody? Okay, I got one. I got two. I got I got four. You already am happy. I thought you were John. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Again, so now all of a sudden I see that joy and happiness comes from wisdom. And the man who gains understanding. Look at this. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain more than fine gold. This is what Solomon tapped into. the flow of God's wisdom in your life is better than if you had silver. It's better than if you have gold, that it will produce more, because silver and gold can't produce happiness. Somebody said, give me some and let me, and I'll just show you. There's wealthy people that are miserable. Wealthy people that commit suicide. Wealthy people that their families are a mess. Wealthy people that their bodies are sick. Wealthy people that they just aren't experiencing the good life. They have all the money that they want, but it won't buy them healthiness. Won't buy them happiness. Amen. And so there's more to life than wealth. All the things, it says, she is more precious than rubies. All the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Nothing. Whatever's important to you in your life, whatever to you is the greatest thing. Lord, I want this, or man, I'd love to do this. It is not, it doesn't even compare to once you get God's wisdom and his flow in your life. Length of days. Look at this. Length of days is in her right hand. So that actually means a couple of different things, because there's another scripture that talks about length of days and long life. So there's a difference between length of days and long life. Long life means many years. Length of days means you're going to have time to get it all done. Do you ever feel like that you can't get it all done, that there's just not enough time in the day, and if you could just have an extra hour or two, maybe you'd be able to get it all done? Wisdom will actually show you how to properly manage your time in a way that will allow you to get everything done with time left over. Length of days is in her right hand, but look at this. In her left hand is riches and honor. In other words, when I met Jennifer, I didn't just get her without her hands and arms. I got all of her. Everything that is her, I now have. So whatever she possesses, whatever she has, it also now is part of my possession. When you get wisdom, you don't just get wisdom, the spirit, wisdom, the person, the wisdom that comes from God. You get everything that comes along with that. Automatically, what happens as you begin to live a life that is just operating out of God's wisdom, can I tell you that automatically, this is where it gets good. Automatically, length of days. Automatically, long life. Automatically, riches and increase. Automatically, honor starts coming into your life. Automatically, the favor of God begins to operate in your life. Like, if you go after the spirit of wisdom, then everything that's in her comes with her. See? Okay, let me finish up with one other scripture here, and then we're going to do something. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. Man, that sounds good too. It's like, it keeps getting better. All her paths are peace. Man, how would you like to just live a life that every direction you go, you're just experiencing peace? You're just enjoying life. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy, there it is again, happy are all who retain her. Okay. There are other scriptures that we'll get into next week, but one of the things that we're going to do for a moment, Alan, we'll go ahead and ask you to come up, is we're going to start this journey tonight. We're going to start this process. We're going to, it's kind of a way to kind of help reset. First of all, You that have been here for the past few months, as we've done things on Wednesday nights, as a Wednesday Activate, you have had the opportunity to allow the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit to operate in your life. Now, what I want to do tonight, first of all, is for all of us just to kind of lift our hands towards heaven, if you will, and just kind of make a decision. I want wisdom. I want to go after. If wisdom is the most important thing, then practically in my life, I need to let God's wisdom rule what I do, rule my actions, rule my decisions. Like, I don't need to make a decision on my own without acknowledging God in it right off the bat. And for some of you, it may just be a shift in your heart that you need to decide, I want to acknowledge God. God, I need to start acknowledging you in every area. I don't need to wait till I get to church, but I just need to begin to acknowledge you. I need to kind of make a decision in my heart to start shifting my focus in that direction. So let's kind of do that right now. As I pray, inwardly, you can kind of make that decision, yes to God, yes to honor Him, yes to acknowledge Him, yes to be aware of Him every day, yes to listening to what He's saying. Now, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about practically how do you continue to draw from the wells of wisdom, and if you don't know the answer to that tonight, then just hang on. We'll get that over the next couple of weeks, so we just don't have time to go through it all tonight. So, Father, right now as I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said in your word that the beginning of wisdom is the reverential fear and awe of you. It's elevating you to the place in our life that you're first, that you're the principal, that you have preeminence, that you're the main thing, that as we take an inventory of different areas of our life, our family, our finances, our bodies, our jobs, that we can kind of take a look at where you are, you know, whether you're at the top or whether we're really acknowledging you and just trying to get through the day. So, Lord, we just, as a church body and also individually, just kind of make this commitment to put you in your rightful place. Thank you, Father. I just feel the Holy Spirit already working in the hearts of some people, saying yes to you, saying, I want that wisdom. I need peace in my life. I need to be happy. I need to experience that joy. I need to experience your life, Father, and those paths that lead only to peace and healthiness and everything that you have for me. And so to do that, I'm going to put you in the right place. I'm sorry for the areas that I haven't acknowledged you in. I'm sorry for the areas that I've just done my own thing and haven't really, really, really acknowledged you, but really even focused on you. But tonight, all of that ends, and I'm just making this shift. Thank you, Lord. Now, Scripture says in James chapter 1, if any person lacks wisdom, ask God. You've put God right where He's supposed to be. He wants you to know that He gives liberally. That's what it says. And He doesn't condemn you for asking. He actually has joy that you are asking. And so by making that shift, what you've done, you've now set yourself up. That's the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, thank you, Lord. What I just heard the Lord say is that if you won't make that shift by putting God first, by putting Him at the right place, by making Him the main thing, if that's the beginning of wisdom, you can't experience the wisdom that you need. Like, you can't jump over the beginning to get what you need. Does that make sense? If that's the beginning, then to experience that wisdom has to come out of a heart that has made that decision. I think sometimes we try to short circuit, you know, and hope that, well, you know, I want to keep doing what I want to do, and I want to keep living the way I want to live, and God, I need your help in this situation, but I'm not willing to yield to you and to make you first place, but can you just kind of help me along the way anyway? But yet again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So because I've decided to make that choice, now I'm in a place, Father, I'm asking you for wisdom. I'm asking you now for the wisdom I need. I need wisdom for my job. I need wisdom for my family. God, I need wisdom in my finances. Father, I need wisdom for my body. There's some things I don't understand. If you'll just kind of begin to ask the Lord for wisdom right now, I just believe that the spirit of wisdom, there is a spirit of wisdom. Jesus said had the spirit of wisdom. Paul prayed that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And that right now, the spirit of wisdom is available right now to every one of us to give you instruction. So, Father, I'm just asking that as we all come before you, I'm asking in faith, give the people here wisdom for what they need. In Jesus' name. Thank you that you are such a good God that you just give it, you give it, you give it. You just love giving. And so we ask it believing completely that you're pouring it out on us right now in Jesus' name. Now let me ask a question while we're in this mode. How many of you came into this place tonight needing some answers to some things? Can I see a show of hands that you need some answers to some things? Okay. All right, that's great. How many of you now are asking God for wisdom about those things right now? Can I see a show of hands? Because I want to make sure you're being specific with God. Okay. All right. Lift your hands towards heaven. Check this out. This is going to be fun. Thank you, Father, that right now the spirit of wisdom is released. The spirit of wisdom is released right now for every one of these people that came in with questions tonight. I thank you for a word of wisdom in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, the Spirit of God, you're going to start getting some thoughts. You're going to start getting maybe a picture. It may be even a feeling about something. And some of it may not even make sense to you. And you may not think, well, I don't think that that's God. But it probably is, because God's wisdom may not be what you think it should be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give it just another minute or two. The Spirit of God is moving. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just magnify you. We thank you for wisdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, who's already starting to get what they think is an answer for the question that they have? Can I see a show of hands? Okay, Dawn, are you willing to share what that might be or not? You want to? You can share? Yeah, so just kind of come up and just encourage others that are asking God for wisdom.
So my thing that I said to God was, I want to pay off my debt. I want to pay all of it off, not just like, you know, like one credit card or whatever. No, I'm like, if I'm asking God, I want it all. and he started sharing with me, and it's not so much, it wasn't like, oh, you're done, you don't have to do anything, keep living your life, and, you know, I'm going to send money your way extra, and you're going to pay it off. It wasn't like that. It was like, hey, you're doing this, and you don't need that, so you can stop paying for that. You're going to eat out. There's nothing wrong with the peanut butter and jelly and some mac and cheese at home. Stop going to eat out. You're using your credit cards on, you know, fun things or for people or something, and it's like, you know, that's nice of you, but it's time to stop doing that now. And it's just, it was more along the lines of, hey, that's all these extra things you have you don't actually need. He's like, I'm all you need. And you don't need to go out and get all these things to show people or to give to people or for yourself or, you know, just because it tastes good or whatever. That, you know, he literally provides it all. So instead of going to a flesh or man thing, go to him. And he's free. So, I don't have to pay anything for that. So, but that was, yeah.
Now, that's awesome. That's a great example of how wisdom comes. Number of things happened there. Number one, it was very practical. It may not be what you wanted to hear. Peanut butter and jelly sometimes isn't what you want to eat. But if God says, look, you can eat the peanut butter and jelly sandwich and then take the money that you would have spent on something else and apply that to the debt, this is a practical way for you. And isn't it interesting? God didn't say, I'm just going to come and bring the money, but you continue to be a bad steward over your money. He's actually, it's creating a transformation in something that she does. But not only that, there was also in that word, it was leading her to a fuller trust in him. And there was also something in that would actually help her in her identity. That's a word of wisdom. Now, if six months from now she still has as much debt and she's still going out to eat and she's still using the credit card and all of that, then basically it just means that she didn't reverence the Lord enough to acknowledge him and to say, I'm going to do what he said. And so you don't come 6 months from now and say, so God, can you please help me with my debt? No, he gave you wisdom. Do what he said to do. Some of you in some areas probably already had the wisdom of God, but you really wanted a different word. Does that make sense? No, God, I didn't like that wisdom. Can I have some different wisdom, please? Doesn't work that way. He knows what's best. Has anybody else got an answer that they want to share real quick? Again, just as an encouragement to the rest of the body. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Hey, come on, Chelsea.
So this actually took like the whole service for me to understand, because I saw it at the beginning and I was like, that makes no sense. But I had questions too for God, and so I was asking him all of them, a ton of them, mostly about my past, and I saw a tomb, like a grave dug out at the beginning. I was like, that is so weird. Why are you showing me this? And I was facing it. And then finally when you, I don't know, I think you were praying or something, and I felt wind come out of it, and it was different. It was a tomb in front of me, and the Lord said, you're facing the wrong way. And so there was like air coming out of the tomb. It was like when he walked out of the tomb, but the Lord was like, turn around. Like, don't look into the grave of what you're coming out of. Turn around and go forward. And so it was like direction, and he put it together. But it wasn't like a specific answer to every little thing. It was just you're facing the wrong way. Wow. Yeah.
That's an awesome word. That's probably a word for not just her, but for other people. You've been looking back, been facing the wrong way, and you need to look forward, because he'll direct your path going forward, not as you're looking in the rearview mirror. Amen. Alan, would you come here for a second, please? Thank you, Lord, and then we'll finish up. I want you to see that a word of wisdom isn't necessarily just something for somebody else. You've got the spirit of wisdom. And next week, practically, over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to talk to you about how to continue to flow in wisdom, how to gain more wisdom. There's some other practical things in the Word of God about that. This was just one thing tonight. And if you're here and you didn't get anything, or you didn't feel like you got that answer, just hold on to that. First of all, it says when you ask for wisdom, ask in faith and don't waver. So thank God every day. Father, you said you've given it. Father, I receive it in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you for it. And you just move into this place of thanksgiving. If you think that you've gotten something and you're not sure, then come up and ask us, you know, hey, Pastor Mark, I think, does this sound like this could be the wisdom of God? You know, Jennifer, does this sound like, I mean, bounce it off of somebody. You don't have to work through this on your own, okay? And then there's some other things practically that God's going to give us over the next couple of weeks of how to just embrace wisdom. Do you have something on your heart to share? I just felt, I'm putting you on the spot right now, so here it is.
Amen. He was talking about some things that the Lord had ministered to us where acknowledging the Lord is concerned. And one of them was you were talking about time. Now, he's right about one thing, and we mentioned this in the class Sunday. This will get on you, and this will get in you, and you'll start talking about it all the time because it'll excite you. Because you know that when your faith is starting to rise up in your heart, you're getting excited about it. And when it comes to time, Pastor Mark, last fall, Melissa and I came into a time where we were going into the busy season of my life at work. Plus, we were going to take on full-time school, and we were thinking we're completely overwhelmed. And see, what happens is when you begin to acknowledge the Lord in a situation, all of a sudden he will quicken something in your heart. He'll speak a word to you, kind of like he did for Dawn and for Chelsea. He'll quicken something in your heart. So we started thinking, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? Everybody works 40 hours a week, but this time of my life, it's like constant pressure. The speed just speeds up all the time. Then we're going to take on full-time school. But the Lord said, start saying, I have plenty of time, I have plenty of money, and I've got plenty of energy to do it all. So we began to acknowledge him in that. And every time I would start feeling overwhelmed, I would say, no, I've got plenty of time, I've got plenty of money, and I've got plenty of energy to do it all. And over a period of several months, our culmination of our busy season ends up on December 7th at midnight. I can tell you guys, with all honesty, that at midnight on December the 7th, 2018, I could have started all over again. I was so full of strength and so full of energy. Praise God. Let me share a scripture with you. This one you can put on your refrigerator right here. He led us to this one. It's Psalm 92, verse 10, in the Message. It says this. It said, he's made me as strong as a charging bison. He quickened that in my spirit, and now whenever I start feeling tired, I start saying, no, he's made me as strong as a charging bison. And I tell you what, it'll get on you. Romans 8:11 talks about how that when the same spirit is in you that's in Christ Jesus, he'll quicken your mortal body. One translation says he'll give new strength and vitality to your whole being. Well, I found out that word vitality, one meaning is boundless energy. So I started saying, praise God, I've got boundless energy. And when you begin to acknowledge the Lord in these areas, like I said, there's no magic pill in saying, I acknowledge the Lord. What you're doing is you're releasing your trust in Him, and you're not leaning to your brain. And then as you continue to do that, sometimes you may say that numerous times, Lord, oh, in that situation, I don't know what to do about it. Acknowledge you. All of a sudden, something will be quickened in your spirit that you can speak out or declare or some way to act, and faith will rise up. Praise God. Amen.
Come on, give the Lord praise for that word. All right.